Breathe on us, O breath of God. Breathe on me. I pray, O God, that you would speak through me. I pray that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. 7 years ago, I was interviewing with search committees from churches because I was looking for a call to become a pastor at a church. And the interview process itself, when you're going through that process of interviewing, is a learning experience. You pick up a lot on the kind of common questions that people will ask you, and it helps you prepare as you go along. And I started to notice a question that was often asked that I began to despise. And that question was, how will you grow our church? A lot of churches, a lot of search committees ask that question. And it, by growth, you knew that they didn't mean in depth, in character, or in in compassion or whatever. You knew that by growth they meant growth in numbers. In other words, if we were going to call you as our pastor, how will you get more people into our church? I didn't like that question because I could smell the fear behind it. The fear that their congregation was dying and they needed more people and therefore more money for their building or whatever they needed to survive. But I disliked the question for other reasons. One was because it assumed that single-handedly I had some kind of magic formula or a program that I would roll out that would get more people into the church. And Geneva Boots will tell you, Geneva, I didn't ask you if I could share this, but I think you'll be okay with this, that if a congregation wants to grow in numbers, the congregation has to decide and do the work alongside the pastor. Is that right? Am I quoting you right, Geneva? Thank you. But second, and more importantly, I disliked the question because it had very little to do with the gospel. When Jesus calls disciples, he never talks to them about the importance of numbers. He doesn't even talk to them about what it looks like to be successful, but he does teach and preach and ask questions about what it means to be faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to Jesus, faithful in the service of love, and in the service of justice. And I think when it comes down to it, if we're wanting to go deeper in our relationship with God and with Jesus and with one another, we need to sit with the questions that really matter for our lives. We need to sit with the questions that Jesus asks us, not so much the questions that the world will ask us, which are often fearful questions, questions that are birthed out of the values of capitalism and capitalistic definitions of success. I'm happy to share, Lucinda, as a side note, that when I interviewed with the search committee at Tabernacle United Church, they did not ask me that question. And there are members of that search committee here in this room this morning. They asked me other challenging questions, and I remain grateful that the Spirit moved us all so that I'm standing here with you this morning. Thank you, Jenny, yes. For Peter, who was a disciple of Jesus, and for all of us who are disciples of Jesus, there is only one question that we are asked this morning, that we are asked to respond to, and it is the question, do you love me? Do you love me? Now, throughout our lives, we tend to look to God, and we ask, God, do you love me? Do you love us? But here the divine turns the question around and asks us, do you love me? Do you love me? This is a radically vulnerable question. It's the kind of question that breaks open your heart and focuses our attention on our own commitments and our behaviors. Children who teach us so much about vulnerability, they are the ones who ask questions like that. In fact, I remember a couple years ago, I was doing a puzzle with my niece, Catherine, and she must have been about 4 years old at the time. And we were just sitting, doing a puzzle, kind of chatting as we do. And at one point, she just looks at me and says, Aunt Katie, will you always love me? And it just cracked my heart open. And of course, I said, Catherine, I'll always love you. But I knew even in saying that to her, that I would need to demonstrate that love to her as she grew up. It wasn't enough just to say that to her, even though it was important that I said that to her in the moment. But it just, that kind of a question, it's a vulnerable question. It opens up our heart to think about our commitments. What does love mean? What does it mean to love? And I think this is part of the power in that question. We can answer in the affirmative, like Peter did with Jesus, but we know deep down that our love that is professed in our words must be love in action. And I'm imagining, maybe we can all imagine, just how painful that question might have been for Peter in that moment. Here we are again by a charcoal fire. The last time we heard of a charcoal fire in John's gospel was when Peter was warming his hands by the fire and denied that he ever knew or followed Jesus. Peter abandoned him by that charcoal fire in a time of Jesus' great need. In verse 17 that Susan read, we hear that Peter was sad. It's translated, Peter was sad when Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? That verb that's translated sad in Greek is lupeo, which means to experience intense emotional grief, to feel deep, deep sorrow. That question itself, when asked a third time by the charcoal fire, takes Peter right back to that time of his betrayal, reminding him of how he failed to be faithful in his love. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we are, all of us, when asked that question, asked to face with courage our many denials. Our denials are shown in lots of ways, through our silence and complacency, for example, in the face of racism. Our denials are shown in our complicity in an economic system that is killing the poor. Our denial is shown in our neglect of the non-human created world. We deny our human siblings, we deny creatures and ecosystems of all kinds, even as we claim our love for them. We deny them with our fearful hearts. And that is why it hurts when Jesus asks the question, because we know, if we're courageous like Peter, we know that we have failed in the work of love many times. And it's painful to recognize that. But the question, do you love me, will remind us of the ways, so it will remind us of the ways that we're not demonstrating our love, and that's painful. But the question, and the context in which this question is asked, is not allowing Peter or us to stay with the pain of our past failures. Because it is morning now. It is a new day. The charcoal fire is not to warm cold hands. It's to cook breakfast and share a meal. The risen Jesus is doing again what the pre-risen Jesus always used to do, feed hungry people. And the risen Christ asked Peter the question that will ultimately raise him out of being stuck in his past failures and regrets. Remember what we said on Easter Sunday, that the resurrection isn't just about bringing Jesus back to life, it's about bringing the followers of Jesus back to life in the here and now. Sometimes I think, how could Jesus be so gracious and patient with Peter? Another chance. He could have been full of anger at him. He could have crushed him right there by the fire. Why not come back a vengeful risen Christ? It would make more sense in our world where we live and breathe retributive violence every day. You would think that Jesus would come back pissed and ready to crush some people. But Jesus, in his crucifixion and death, shows us the horrible truth of what vengeance looks like. The crucifixion is God saying, look what violence and hatred does. No more of this. No more of that. When we come to the table, in fact, in just a few moments, we will share the body and blood of Christ. And when we say the blood of Christ that is poured out for us, we say it's a new covenant. It's no longer vengeance. This is a cup of forgiveness. It is the cup of new beginnings. The risen Lord comes to Peter and to us not to beat us down or crush us, but offers us forgiveness in what we failed to do, and then offers us release and a chance to get up again and follow in God's way. Ultimately, the question, do you love me, takes us beyond the pain of our own failings. The question itself assumes the forgiveness of God and release to start again and to get another chance to demonstrate our love. And Jesus is quite clear about how that love is demonstrated. Feed my sheep, he says. Tend my sheep. Feed my lamb. God is not only our shepherd. Now we are all asked to be shepherds, tending to God's flock. And I want to propose that in our time, we could think of literal lambs and literal sheep as an animal life, non-human life, as included in those we are called to attend to and care for. What about lambs and sheep and clean water and green pastures that nourish them? What about every crumb of healthy soil that those lambs depend on? What does it mean to tend my sheep in the urgency of the now of climate change and environmental racism? Tend my sheep, Jesus says. Show your love for me in your love and care for all the vulnerable and fragile life that is crying out in your midst. This is how you love Jesus. Don't stay dead in the failings and denials of your past, because God is moving in this new day and needs you to move with God. What I find perhaps most moving about this story is that Peter was courageous in the end. He was afraid, of course he was. But he was courageous enough to face the pain of his past, to not let that pain keep him stuck, but rather to allow the forgiveness and love of God to release him into new life. Jesus asks us the question, do you love me? It is the question that matters. It's worth us pondering and sitting with in prayer. Maybe we can carry that question with us today and throughout the week. May we allow it to ultimately move us out of those places of fear and out of our bondage to the failings of our past and into a space of courage for the here and now. The question, do you love me, is offered to us to raise us out of our places of death. God's forgiveness releases us to live again, to love again with courage in our hearts. Amen. Amen.